And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. You are listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I'm your host, Bill Frank. You can hear us live every day, 10 to 11 o'clock, here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is image and self-image. Each of my three guests is discussing an aspect of image that the outside world sees, for which we may have a completely different self-image. My first guest is an expert in leadership, motivation, and success. He described for us the leadership rules and how we can see ourselves as better leaders in 2011. My second guest is a business ethicist. No, business ethics are not an oxymoron. He told us about the comeback of business ethics in 2011. My next guest is the national advocate for the American demographic in fashion and lifestyle. We're going to discuss women's self-image and how it's changed over the years. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Catherine Mullen is a writer, a researcher, and a media network owner. She published an online fashion magazine for over 8 years. She's been a fashion model for in excess of 20 years. Catherine knows women aged 50 and above are not the same women that their moms were in their day. Men and women both are larger in the years past, and at the same time, they're very tired of being called fat, and we want to talk about that with Catherine today. Welcome to the show, Catherine. How are you?
Very fine. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for being a guest. So let's jump into it, shall we? The census just was completed, and 191 million of the nearly 300 million Americans, that's 63% for those of you that are math scholars out there, those people fit into the category of women's junior plus sizes or men and boys big and tall sizes in the fashion category. Yet at the same time, experts in health are warning us that obesity and type 2 diabetes are epidemic in America. Is this the new normal? Is this what we have to look forward to?
Well, I do believe it is the new normal, and I do believe that there is something to look forward to, and this is why. Because as Americans, we are the culmination of a blend of many different ethnicities, and the result of American fast food and video games. So if you take simply the ethnic blending, you're going to have a bigger person if you take all of the cultures throughout the world and blend them in the mixing pot that is the American demographic. And also, we are the product of American fast food and video games. So on the one hand, we are bigger just in general because people get bigger as cultures grow. I believe that we are a healthier population than what we are led to believe, and I believe that the things that tamp down our spirit as big, creative, burly frontiersmen are things like the body mass index, which is highly suspect because it's based on a mathematical formula used by the insurance industries and does not take into account ethnicity, lifestyle, and activity levels.
All right. Now, there's a lot of information just in that answer, and I want to kind of sift through it piece by piece if we can. So first of all, you say that we're bigger simply because of the ethnic blending, and certainly I can maybe see that when it comes to height. You know, we're all taller than the previous generation, and that's been a pattern that's been repeated pretty much since 1900 to today in 2010. So I can see that. But the weight, the girth, now that's something else, because if you go around the world and you look at various ethnic groups, most of the people in these other ethnic groups are not big. For example, you go to South America, Central America, and most of the people living there are not what you would call large or even obese. They're really very thin because of a lack of food, malnutrition, and those kinds of things. So explain a little bit further what you mean by this ethnic blending and how that's led us to be larger people in general.
Well, first off, now I'm not a paleontologist or an archaeologist, but if you look at evidence left by previous generations, we can tell just by what they leave behind that they were smaller in stature. We know they lived shorter lives. We have better, on average, whether it's observed or utilized or not, we have better nutrition now than we ever had before in our lives. We have a greater longevity. Now, if you take somebody like, I believe it's the Pima Indians, that they are naturally a toned, fit people, but it's their exposure to Western foods, fast foods, that has turned them into an obese culture. Okay, now that is culturally set upon them. But if you look at Samoans, Samoans are naturally a big people. If you look at American Indians, there's a layer of fat, not American Indians, American Eskimos, there's a layer of fat there. If you look at the Nordic influence from the Nordic cultures that early populated this country and that continue to come in, you've got a taller group. So if you add up the Indo-Pacific Islanders, and you add up the American Eskimos, and you add up the Nordic, and you add up the Eastern European, it does blend into a hardier stock. We are a hardier stock.
All right. We're talking to Catherine Mullen, everybody. We're talking about self-image and the way the world perceives us as a society getting larger and, in some cases, people say fatter. And in your first answer, Catherine, you had some very interesting things to say about the BMI, which is the body mass index, and that the rate of obesity is, what you said, and I'm going to quote, highly suspect. Let's go into that just a little bit more, please. And you'd say we don't take into account certain things like activity, lifestyle factors, and so forth. Explain what you mean by highly suspect BMI readings.
Well, as I mentioned, the BMI formula is put together by the insurance underwriters groups. They use a mathematical formula on averages that deduces this body mass index. Now, if you take this body mass index formula and apply it to someone like a pro wrestler or a football player, they're going to be severely obese, as according to the body mass index. Again, the body mass index formulations do not take into account ethnicity, lifestyle, and overall amount of activity that person experiences. So it's a generalized formula, but it's a mathematical formula nonetheless.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but then again, I want to come back to the insurance. We'll come back to that in just a minute.
Okay.
But I want to talk a little bit now about women and self-image as well as mature.
My favorite topic.
I knew it was. That's why I wanted to lead into it. So you and I both grew up, we're relatively the same age. We grew up in the age of the ultra-thin model like Twiggy, and the fashion and media industry has really shaped the perception of what the ideal woman looks like. Yet the statistics of who we are as people really belie the Madison Avenue image of what a woman is. So how have women's perceptions of themselves changed as the baby boomer women have gotten older? And are the changes in attitudes towards size being reflected in the mainstream media?
Well, let me open by saying that it is so important that we as baby boomer women or as full figure women understand the power that we possess. Let me first off differentiate that being a full figure is not the same as being a super size, which is a size greater than, I believe, a size 27. Super sizes are morbidly obese. When you're talking full figure, formerly referred to as plus, full figure is a height-weight proportionate. So there's a difference between being morbidly obese supersizes and being full figure or an average American.
Okay.
So, well, you had mentioned the fashion season lines up all every year with ultra-thin models, and you're hearing about models dropping dead right when they leave the runway because they're emaciated. What happens is that manufacturers and designers have left without representation in media and in fashion and advertising the largest, wealthiest consumer demographic in the United States. And that's us, full-figure baby boomer women, that roughly 53 million women in this country aged 45 to 65, they're out of that 53 million, 41 million of us wear a size 14 to, 20, 22 to 24. And baby boomer women, we have lots of money. You only have to refer to Christiane Northrup or Faith Popcorn, the futurist, that since 2008, women in this baby boomer demographic have the biggest economic impact in the country. And we're not spending our father's money. We're not spending our family's money. We are spending our own money.
All right. Well, if that is all true, and I do believe that it is true, Catherine, why is it that all of business is missing the mark here? Because we're all capitalists, and sooner or later the capitalists are going to wake up and say, ooh, there's money to be made here. How could we be so blind to this?
Well, I think that part of it is a thing that they call, social comparison. And it's a matter of where advertisers believe that if women see these images of wispy blonde women that we will want to be like them and therefore buy that product, which they have completely and totally missed the mark on the whole thing. And I believe that the proof of that is Dove cleansing creams and soaps. They had that wonderful campaign a couple years ago of the gals in Times Square, the big billboards, and they were all different body shapes and different styles and different colors of women. And they thought that it was, you know, it got such controversy because it's all these full-figure women in their underwear. Well, you know, the research paid off, and Dove earned huge profits ahead of schedule in the early in the first quarter of their campaign. I believe the corporate sales rose something like 8.6%. Within the home and personal care group. And that was documented as the Dove's campaign for real beauty. And I think that it was so well received because women saw themselves in that advertisement.
All right.
And when you can see yourself in that advertisement, you're more likely to buy that product.
Because you identify with it, with something that you call that social comparison. But let me ask you, why isn't Dove repeating that ad campaign if it was so highly successful?
Well, they have extended it further because they're using older models now, older women in the ads, the gray-haired models and that sort of thing. But I think that if you look across the board, advertisers that see that, you know, wake up and understand that there's a 200-pound woman in the boardroom and she's got a lot of money, we're starting to see more of catering to that demographic. Specifically, I know swimwear manufacturers have gone to a more fitted swimwear, and there is a technology behind swimwear now that you can put a one-piece swimsuit, say, for instance, on a woman with a double D or a triple D bust and a 44-inch hip, and that swimsuit, the technology within that swimsuit will make her look like a starlet. Now, you got to put on sandals and some earrings, but nonetheless, manufacturers are waking up to the huge amount of money they're leaving on the table.
All right, so some manufacturers are picking it up, and clearly I'm going to cite another example, which may be counterintuitive or counter your point here, and that is Spanx out of Chicago. They are the ones who have the undergarments that shape women, very much like the old girdles in the old days. Creative idea, some woman thought that she wanted to slim herself and shape herself, so she cut off the legs of pantyhose and used that controlling panel to control her size there. So I know that there are entrepreneurs that are jumping on that, but is Spanx really counterintuitive to your point, or does it fit in?
No. Look, when you've got a body like this, as we all see in our mind's eye what a curvy woman looks like, you know, you have to present it properly. And foundations are the one most important part of your outfit. If you don't have a bra that fits a triple D bust, if you don't have underpinnings that, you know, rein in ample soft flesh, then you're not going to look great. And I think that women, once we understand the maintenance involved in presenting the product properly, you know, it's like skinny women pad their bras, and some of them get those little butt pants that have the pads in the butts to make them look curvier.
So,
well, we don't need to. We just need to sort of sculpt what we have.
All right. We're talking to Catherine Mullen, everybody. So I'm going to ask you then, Catherine, the follow-on question, which is, are these changes in attitudes about size being reflected in the mainstream media, not just advertising, but radio shows, television shows, internet shows, et cetera? The only example that I can think of is Mike and Molly, which is on CBS, which sort of reflects that new mindset. Are there other examples that I'm missing?
Well, and I love that Mike and Molly is representing a big person on television, but I do think that that casting has missed the mark. I think women like Nigella Lawson, women that are built like Oprah, that's what your demographic is, because, again, when you've moved out of proportion, you've moved into supersizes. So in television, gosh, let me think. You know, I'm thrilled that Top Model occasionally does a full figure. And a full figure is just more interesting to look at overall. I mean, ask any artist. So I think that once that mainstream television begins to portray full figure women with the class, the elegance, the sensuality, the sexuality that we see in ourselves, I think that you're going to have a really big controversy, much like the Crystal Ren picture that Annie Leibovitz took. Look it up on the net. It's an incredibly sexy picture that shows absolutely nothing of one of America's leading full-figure fashion models.
All right. We're talking to Catherine Mullen, everybody. We're talking about women's self-image, and she is the national advocate for the American demographic in fashion and in lifestyle. So in that role, Catherine, let me ask you, what changes are you lobbying for in media and in fashion?
Well, I think the first and most important thing is that we can identify ourselves properly. We are not plus. We are not plus size. Plus or plus is French for the word more.
Mm-hmm.
We are not more of a maiden archetype. We are not the maiden archetype at all. Women that are baby boomer age, women that are in their even as early as 40 and maintain a height, weight, proportionate, curvy body is the goddess archetype. And so we need to understand that we are not plus, we are not more, we are average Americans, and that when people start producing, when art directors start to see the dynamic that full-figure women can exude in visual media, I think you're going to see a huge swing in the fashion and body image pendulum.
And I agree with you. What's it going to take to cause that change?
Honestly, I think visionary art directors, visionary photographers like Annie Leibovitz, visionary models like Crystal Wren that maintain her size, even the Beth Dittos, whose controversial size and color, hair, and that sort of thing, are all influential, because in order to break the ice, you really have to make a big splash.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there, Catherine. I'm sorry. But people have been listening. They want to learn more about you. Where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would direct them to my website, newfuturenetwork.info, and click on the Goddess magazine link. Find out more about what we're doing and what I'm all about, and I would love to talk to you again.
Thanks, Catherine. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for being a guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.